It is time to catch up with the week's travel news with APTA in the UK, where Sean tells me you're going to have a heat wave this weekend. 14 degrees, Sean.
I know. I don't know how we're going to handle it. 14 degrees. Yeah, that was the headline in the Daily Mirror.
Whoa. Heat wave.
Yeah, all right. Okay, fair enough.
Love it. Love it. Now, let's start with the kind of the problem of the moment for travellers. And we talked about this last week, that bringing in this new green, amber and red traffic light system means that for England, each person will require required to take a pre-departure COVID test. But the biggie is the PCR test on return to the UK.
Exactly, Bill, yeah. And they're very, really expensive in the UK. We did a bit of research with the Airport Operators Association, and we found the average cost in the UK for a PCR test was £128.
Goodness me.
A lot of money. So yep. It's still not clear. Let's say if you've got a family of four going, they're still not clear whether children will have to take these tests as well. So you can imagine that's almost £500 on the top of your holiday cost. They've also, as you said, there's a test for a pre-departure test, and they haven't actually clarified whether that's a PCR test or one of these cheaper, well, actually free now, lateral flow tests. Yep. So there's all these kind of things. It just puts the idea into people's head it's going to be yet another barrier, and a rather expensive one at that. So we've gone back to the government and said, look, surely, what is the logic if you're setting up this traffic light system and you've got people on the green list, whereby it means they've got a really good vaccination rollout program, no new variants, so the risk is incredibly low.
Yeah.
Why do you need to take a test if the country itself isn't asking you to have a test?
Yes.
Why should the British government insist you take this when you're departing? It doesn't make a great deal of sense. So what we said is, okay, if you really want to insist on this, go for the lateral flow test.
Yeah.
Do that, not this ridiculously expensive PCR test. The other issue is, why are they so expensive? Because the average cost, again, we did a bit more research around Europe, it works out at just under £60.
Yeah.
So it can be done a lot cheaper. So these firms are charging, you know, pretty unjustifiable charges. They really are. Now, one in particular, one called Randox, might as well name them, because at least they've been good enough to lower their prices, so that they will do it for £60. But even so, that's still a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
So we really need to look at, do we need to take these particular tests if you're going to certain destinations, particularly if you've been vaccinated? And if you do have to, then, okay, let's do it at a more reasonable cost. It can be done.
I think it's a totally appropriate response, and I know that your chief exec, Mark Tanzer, was pretty fed up about this. If they can cut the price from 120 to 60, then doesn't that say we're already making tons of money? Even if we can do it at 60, we still must be making a profit because we're a business.
Why can't you do it at 20?
Yes.
And also the other side to this is, you know, once people do start travelling, you know, if this is still remains as a requirement, it's economies of scale. There'll be so many people having to take these tests to make money that way, don't you? So so let's hope they see some sense. Grant Shapps, Minister for Transport, said that they would be looking very closely at this. Okay, fine.
Great.
Well, saying that's easy, but you've got to do something about it.
Well, get on with it then, Grant, frankly.
Exactly.
Yes, yeah, get on with it. We would think that Heathrow is pretty quiet, but apparently it's pretty chaotic and there's very good reasons for it.
Yeah, but at the moment, they're saying that passenger numbers are down to about 15% of normal levels. I'm surprised it's as high as that, actually.
Mm.
But the issue they've got now, because they have to, check that people have been tested, and also depending which countries they're coming on from, where they have to actually be quarantined at a hotel, the checks of passport control are taking a lot longer than normal.
Mm.
And because of that, I think this is actually coming from the unions who represent the staff who work in these places. They're saying, look, you need to give us more resources. You need to make sure that we can operate all of the desks rather than just some of them, which is an issue because of social distancing at the moment.
Mm.
Because they're saying they've seen queues of up to 7 hours.
Yeah, but somebody collapsed, didn't they, the other day?
Yeah, I think she looked like she was quite an elderly lady. So standing in a queue for 7 hours is not ideal, is it, really?
No.
But I remember a situation a few years ago. I don't remember, Bill. There was a problem with the issuing of passports.
Uh-huh.
That basically the branch of the civil service concern was under so much pressure, they were saying there was a real danger that people would not get their passports back in time.
That's right.
And they would lose their holidays. Now, the reason why that happened actually came from the unions, and it's a way of putting pressure on the government, saying, look, these worst-case scenarios, if you don't do something about it, we'll have absolute chaos. And I think that's what's happening here, is the unions saying, you must make sure that we have more staff, so once people do start moving, we don't have ridiculously long queues. So hopefully they'll listen to that, because as I said, that would just not be workable. What you do is get people moving in greater numbers. If you don't have sufficient people checking the documentation, then yeah, it could be really, really problematic.
Well, rather concerned, the Prime Minister's official spokesman insisted that Border Force had the right level of staff. Well, frankly, if there are 7-hour queues with a 15% capacity at Heathrow, that doesn't make any sense at all.
No, it doesn't, no. But I think, as I said, they will have to see sense on this one, really. And in the past, I've seen this kind of thing. As I said, it's a way of putting on pressure, and it usually works. So, but as it stands, no, seriously. If we, once numbers start going up even higher, you can't have queues at that length. It's just totally unmanageable. So something will be done. I think the other side to this as well is that you can't use the e-gates because, you have to be physically have your documentation checked. So that's another side to all of this. So we need moving forward. That's another thing, talking about having some kind of COVID certification to show that you've been vaccinated. If you had that on an electronic document, then you could use that going back to
go through the e-gates, right?
That way.
Right.
So that's something we need to work on as well.
And that kind of ties in with Friedrich Hussen, who runs TUI, who's been saying that he's optimistic.
Yeah, I think he has to be, really, doesn't he? TUI is the biggest travel company in the world, not just in Europe. It spends millions of people a year on holiday in any normal year. So he's saying that he is pretty optimistic about the vaccine rollout throughout the Europe, which is where most TUI customers go on holiday. So he's saying that they're going to operate 75% of their capacity. But I think I'm quite optimistic with what's going on in Europe. I'm not quite so optimistic with what's going on in the UK. It's very disjointed thinking at the moment. And we really need to make sure we get that sorted out. But I think for the rest of you, I think things are going in a very positive way.
Well, we're slowly picking up the vaccination stuff here. Slowly.
We're talking for the summer, aren't we, really, Bill? So it's still only April, but I think once you start getting to July, I think we'll be in a much better position.
Well, let's hope that things are starting to look up, Sean, at last.
Indeed.
Well, I what can I say? I'm incredibly jealous that you're going to be basking in 14 degrees in the UK this weekend.
What's the temperature like in Spain?
Well, I'll tell you what,
28.
Sean. We're nowhere near that. Let me just tell you here for Malaga, what we got. 20, actually, to be fair. And if you look to your favourite place, Mallorca, they've got a disaster, actually. They've got rain and 13 tomorrow. Mm.
My God.
So there you are.
Hotter than Mallorca, there's your headline.
Hotter than me.
Again, in any normal year, Bill, I would probably be booking myself onto a certain well-known Irish airline down to Malaga.
Absolutely.
Not this year, unfortunately.
Bless you. Have a great weekend, Sean. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.